He served his country and now he is representing his country again. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome former RAF Regiment Gunner Corporal Stuart Robinson, MBE, to the show. He's representing Team GB at the Paris 2024 Paralympics wheelchair rugby. Stu, I've got to ask you, what's your nerves to excitement ratio right now?
I'm very, very excited. Nerves, I'll try and keep it on the back burner for a little while. We do have to play world number one in our first game, and then we have got France on the Saturday evening, which could be quite a home crowd to take part in. But yeah, at the moment, I'm so excited and so looking forward to it.
If we can just start before your Paralympian journey, the life-changing event, you were near Camp Bastion on a routine patrol with 15th Squadron RAF Regiment when your vehicle hit an IED and you suffered life-changing injuries. You had rehabilitation at Headley Court, and then you saw a poster which changed everything, didn't you?
Yeah, I remember coming out of the gym one day and seeing a poster advertising for the first ever Invictus Games. You see all these guys in rugby sports chairs and they're playing with a round ball, and it just kind of grabbed my attention straight away. I had to try and give it a go and see where it could take me. The only downside for me was that I was due some surgery and I might not be able to make it, but thought I'd send the email off anyway and see where it could take us. And next thing you know, I'm being invited to a training camp down in Leicester for wheelchair rugby. And without sounding too cliche, the rest is history. We're now on a snowball to our second Paralympic Games and seeing where it can take us.
Because you did have some great success at the Invictus Games, didn't you?
Yeah, so my first ever Games over in London in 2014, we managed to come away with a gold medal. And then the next two, we won a bronze and a silver. Obviously, it was a pretty tough time, but for me, it was about being involved in rugby and about being involved in sport. And luckily for me, I found a sport that I fell in love with straight away and I wanted to see how far I could go with it.
What do you think really helped the most? Obviously, you know, that passion for sport, but was there sort of a replacing of the military community as well? Because obviously you went through a lot, double amputee, and then to get your life back on track and to have come as far as you have done is incredible.
So I think one of the easiest things for me was the fact that obviously I'd gone from a military environment where you'd learn all about teamwork, camaraderie and all that kind of banter and this kind of stuff. And I managed to get into a team sport, which was pretty much the same thing. And obviously you're working for not only myself, but for the other three guys that are on court. You've got the other eight guys that are in the squad. You all have that camaraderie, that banter, and you all get along. And you all learn how to be a part of a team, but also performing well as an individual. So it was a nice, easy transition. But for me, it also made sense because of going from the military background to now playing team sport was such an easy decision to make.
And you've had some help along the way from the RAF Benevolent Fund, who you're an ambassador for, haven't you?
They've been the backbone to probably one of the biggest parts of my success. I think the fact that even before I found rugby, they were there in the forefront, helping me out, get my life back on track, helping get my family's life back on track, getting the housing sorted in that kind of situation. But even then, when I decided that my time in the military was going to be over and my new career path was going to be to playing rugby and seeing how far that could take, they still stuck by me and helped support me. So without their help and the support and their guidance was massively beneficial for me in order to get life back on track, but then in order to go as far as I can when I'm playing elite level sport.
Taking it back to medals, in the Tokyo Paralympics 2020, you were part of the gold medal winning team. How does that feel? Because the vast majority of us will never know what it's like to have someone put a gold medal around your neck.
It was a pretty special and a pretty surreal moment. I remember when I won my first Invictus medal that I had visions that I was going to push around the whole court. I was going to go mental, celebrate, etc. stuff, but I had no energy left inside me. But the fact that when we won the gold medal in Tokyo, I was the complete opposite. I knew, and even the whole squad, we knew that the gold medal was in our grasp. I was pretty fortunate, obviously, to play the majority of the final and to come away with probably one of the final winning goals, and to help celebrate it probably made it more sweeter. The fact that we beat the Americans was a little bit better. But yeah, we were just over the moon. And the fact that no British wheelchair rugby team, no European rugby team had ever won a medal, let alone a gold medal. So for us to come in there and to smash it, and let alone that, but it was my first ever Paralympic Games. All the icing was on the cake. All we had to do is now go and celebrate and make the most of it. We've now just got the pretty big task of having these shoes to fill to go into the next Games as reigning Paralympic champions and try and come away with another gold medal.
Where do you keep your medal?
I have a special box that I had for my another medal. I keep it in the display cabinet downstairs, and obviously a lot of people, when you go to like talks and chats with people, they want to see the medal, and I'm quite happy to pass it around and show them, but it's probably safest bet that it's in the case, in the box, we say, and just kept in a safe place for most of the time.
And this time round, the Paralympics, I assume, will have quite a different feel without those COVID restrictions, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was a massive shame, the fact that we'd gone out to Tokyo and won the gold medal, but pretty much in front of nobody, because nobody was allowed to watch us. So these games are going to be so special, probably the closest games we're going to get compared to having home games like London 2012. But for us to go out there and try and play well, and to have the support, not just from the British crowd, everyone that's going to be coming along to watch for us, but the fact that we're going to have to be playing France as well on the Saturday evening means that there's going to be such an amazing crowd and amazing atmosphere, and it's probably going to be up to us to try and silence them and come away with another win.
And have you got family and friends that can come out and support you as well?
Yeah, we have. We've got a lot of the kids are coming over, and a lot of the family as well, so it's good for them to come over. And to not only the kids do come and see me play at some kind of rugby tournaments here and there in the UK, but this is going to be another level. And I think, like I said, with the crowds, the atmosphere, and seeing so much world-class sport on one platform, on one level, it's going to be a pretty special occasion.
And you're vice captain now, aren't you?
Yeah, so I was fortunate that after Tokyo, I was selected to be the vice captain to help support Gav, who is our current captain, and obviously the coaching staff and stuff like that. So I think for what I've tried to do is take a lot of the stuff that I learned from the military, from my leadership perspective, and try and employ that in the rugby kind of grounds. It's more for me about showing people that I'd like them to follow the way that I play, rather than trying to give them orders and say this is the way they should do. And it's about trying to instill that confidence of how that we play, and having myself and Gavin and everyone else as leaders is quite the right direction to go in.
Which team is the one to beat? Is it France because of the home crowd advantage?
They are currently massive at the moment. I think the fact that they're rising up in the world rankings, they're playing really, really well. They've had a couple of really good results against us lately as well. But we do have our first game against Australia, who are world number one. Japan, Australia, USA, they're all up there in the top couple in the world. So every game that we play in is going to be like a cup final. We have to go out there and smash it. We have to go out there and just take each game as it comes, because there's no point looking any further forward, because we know each game's going to be difficult. But we've just got to go out there and do what we can and come away with five wins and hopefully another gold medal.
And when you're playing in matches like that, do you have like a military mindset, or is it a next level focus? Is it quite different?
So I've been doing quite a lot of work with the team psychologists and things like that, of how to hone yourselves in and to recenter yourselves and stuff. That you kind of take it all in as you're going onto court and you're doing the national anthem, etc. But as soon as that first whistle goes, all that matters is it's you four guys on court against the other four guys on court. And it's just any other rugby match. You've just got to, I know it's the Paralympics and it's probably the biggest world stage we're going to play in, but for us, you've just got to concentrate on what's in front of you and the best that you can play. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, we're all hoping that you're the four that come away with the gold medal, and you have all our support. We'll be cheering you on, and everyone is very, very proud of you. Stu, thank you so much for making the time to come on the show.
Thanks for having us.